Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. I'm reading headlines from yesterday. The Blood Transfusion Service says it urgently seeks blood donations. Our supply is very low. That's breaking news. IE Dublin Live, urgent appeal for blood donations as stocks drop below 3 days supply. That's RTE, appeal for 2,000 blood donations over the next over the next 4 weeks. Irish Examiner, appeals made for donations, national blood supply, etc. It goes on. And Irish Highland Radio, Irish Blood Transfusion. So they got an awful lot of coverage, rightly so, yesterday, looking for donations. But Declan Heavey lives in Palmerstown in West Dublin. Declan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. You want to give blood?
Joe, a blood emergency, it was called on the news.
Yeah.
And I was having my dinner there 5:30. And I said, right, get the phone out. Let's help out here. You can only ring in between 9 and 5. I got onto the website.
Yeah.
Most of the times you can call are sort of in times when you'll be bringing kids to sport. There was no daytime clinics. Some of the places were in Accra. They said a place in Lucan. It was actually in Leixlip. So I got onto a girl today. She was lovely. Absolute lovely girl, I have to say. It's very helpful.
Yeah.
She can get me in on the 7th of November. For this blood emergency. I find it in an appeal where they were talking about cancelling surgeries and all, that it's that difficult to go and actually give blood at the moment.
The 7th of November?
7th of November, particular sites, they have Delir Street, they have the Springfield Hotel, the Glen Royal Manute. They're trying to find somewhere that was convenient to people now, as you know, with jobs and children to collect from school and after school. And most of the clinics start in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock in the evening, which would be a prime traffic time, as you know, with the new restrictions, etc. So then there's another thing that if you're a first-time donator, you'd be further down the list, and I would be a first-time donator, where they have their regular donations. Now, this system might work all year round, Joe, but in an emergency, I would expect that there will be additional vans, in car parks at Super Values and Tesco's, etc., for you to be able to give blood immediately in a shortage, and I just find it fascinating.
So you're saying you rang up today as a national blood emergency. You rang up today and they said the earliest we can get you in...
Yeah, to a site convenient to me in Palmerstown.
Okay, well, what does that mean, Dublin or...?
Well, it means most of... It would meant the preferred sites for me, Joe, would have been the Lucan, Minute, Finglas, okay. The Talis site.
So you're prepared to travel. Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, prepared to give blood, yeah.
So then the date they gave you is Thursday, November the 7th.
Yeah, as a first-time donator.
But by that stage, Donald Trump will be president of America. That's on November the 5th.
Yep.
The world could be over.
If he has his way. If I don't get
blood. But I'm just trying to give people an idea of how far away it is.
Yeah. The girl was most helpful.
By the way, we asked them to come on, given they're looking for it. But for some reason, they won't come on, but they basically say, we ask them, are there any walk-in clinics? They say, we take walk-ins, but our preference is for appointments, so you could walk into a clinic.
Well, the girl advised me that would be, you know, and she was looking for cancellations and all. Most helpful now, Joe, again.
Yeah, I know, that's underwritten.
I was advised by my hospital there. I suffer from high iron in my blood.
Okay.
And they discharged me and told me to start using this system. And just it ignited in my mind, I must go and must do my bit. On the top of the website, it has in yellow, urgently required X amount there at the moment. So in an emergency, it's like the food emergency, there'd be food parcels and soup kitchens. In a blood emergency, I'd expect a couple of additional units to be deployed. And I'd also like to say, I was reading in the comments yesterday, one of the newspapers, that a lot of people mentioned that when they used to see the clinics daytime in their local supermarkets, and the wife would be shopping and passing by, they'd always walk in off the road just to say, you know, can I help? I'm here.
Okay, I'll drop.
And you don't see those mobile clinics like you used to do.
Well, you see, the blood transfusion service are telling us the exact opposite to what you're telling me. They're saying we take walk-ins. This is their statement.
Okay.
We take walk-ins, but our preference is for appointments. But they do say, Baldy, we take walk-ins. You say they don't. Why is the phone line, we asked, only open from 9 to 5? And they say, and for your point about people in work, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
They are the opening hour. Obviously, they're the opening hours of the back office function. Appointments can be made online for regular donors.
Regular donors.
What about new donors? You've spotted the
There was a lot of down the list and et cetera. So, as I said, I'm just querying, is it the New Ireland that we're in where between 9 and 5 phone lines are open because people want
you ask
now,
about
don't
the,
know, Joe.
The,
I don't know.
Okay, the mobile units, they say the blood transfusion service holds clinics at a wide variety of venues, hotel, function rooms, sports halls, civic centres, church halls. Has the number of mobile mobile units been reduced? No.
Right.
No.
I walk on the road and I haven't seen one, Joe, I'm afraid, in the last couple of years. I used to see them regularly in the car parks of Tesco's in Maynooth, etc. I haven't seen
them. Okay. 51551, Diana is in Cork. Diana, you're blaming COVID.
Well, I was just saying that before COVID, so I live in West Cork, and the mobile units would just come to a local hotel and set up in the function room. It would be advertised and people, you just drop in, and I would often go there, and there could be a queue when you get in the door. You could be sitting in chairs for maybe half an hour waiting.
But you're talking to your neighbours and your friends and the people
you haven't
seen in years or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, and there'll be a lot of workmen will call after work in their gear, just drop in. But now you have to make an appointment in advance. And it's not, a lot of people maybe can't plan ahead, or, you know, you can't just drop in anymore. And I think that's a problem, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, so before, as I say, they used to be packed. I think they're actually in Bantry today. And I was thinking, would I be able to go or wouldn't I? But I was had to ring a couple of days ago and make an appointment, and I didn't, you know, whereas if I just found myself free, I would just drop in, you know?
Yeah.
That was my point.
And have they been coming recently?
Yeah, and maybe not as frequently as they used to, I don't think so, but I know, I think I saw them outside that they're in Bantry either today and tomorrow or yesterday and today, so, but it's definitely the appointment thing, I think.
So if I was to say to people, it's in Bantry today, I can't encourage people to go along, as I normally would.
Well, I'm not sure how far in advance you have to make an appointment.
I
don't actually know what you need. The appointment thing only came in since COVID. Before that, you literally just drop in. And you still fill out the form. Like when you'd arrive, you'd give your name and your details, and then you'd have a health questionnaire, and it would ask you all the questions. Have you been feeling unwell recently? Have you taken any medication in the past week, even like a paracetamol? And you have to tick all the boxes. You have this condition or that condition. And you then have to go in and meet the nurse and they check your blood sugar level. And once all of that was correct, then you'll be passed on to the nurse to actually give the blood. So it was a very thorough procedure and it worked very, very well, you know.
Well, you see, I think Declan has a point. You know, the website I was looking at earlier... It says, first of all, if you're a regular donor, check your preferred clinic and venue details before making an appointment. You're right.
Yeah.
Using the donor portal account, you can view eligibility criteria at a regular donor eligibility quiz.
Well, that's, to be fair, that has always been there.
Okay, it's a quiz. Okay. Regular donors are contacted automatically and can book their appointments online. You can visit any clinic 90 days after your last donation. That's fair enough. New donors or returning donors who haven't been there in 5 years should view the new and returning donors' eligibility quiz to check if there's any reason they might not be able to donate.
Yes.
If there are no upcoming clinics in your area, you can register your interest and we will contact you prior to a clinic. Before attending the clinic, remember, bring photo ID, checkout policy, read children under 18 attending, eat and be well hydrated before giving blood. I presume there's an age limit as well, is there? That's, I remember getting calls
about it.
There
is, I think you must, yeah, you must be over 18. I've never had to show a photo ID before.
Apparently, I only discovered that there's a, you never had to show a photo ID before, no?
No, I haven't done it in a few years. It's since before COVID, but I was never asked for ID anyway.
Okay. Michael Noonan is in Perrystown in Dublin 12. Michael, you're listening to Declan. Go ahead, Michael.
How you doing, Joe?
Good, thanks.
Just in relation to your first caller there making the comments.
Declan, yeah.
What I wanted to say was that the blood bank have a very, I don't work for them. They have a very well-oiled machine, simple and straightforward. A new donor has to go, this is a medical procedure. So a new donor has to go through a screening and all that. There's plenty of opportunities all year long. The reason why the blood bank is down now at the moment, because with summertime and people being away, donations always fall off during the summer.
Okay.
Because people are away, they're on holidays, they're doing their bits and pieces. That's why they donate, that's why supplies run down. There's plenty of opportunities on the clinics to pop in. They're well advertised from a general point of view. And if you're a regular donor, people have no problems donating. It's just the timing of the year that affects us in that regard. It's a very good service.
And you think Declan's, Declan's being unfair?
Well, because he is being unfair because he's a new donor. Okay, he's reacted to the advertisement, and there's been a lot of advertisement about the shortages at the moment in that regard. And that's good, because it waits, but people are complacent. They forget, I must do it again, I'll pick up the next one or whatever. So whereas regular
Michael, what is your criticism of Declan?
Because I just think it's painting a very fair, unfair picture. Like people saying they don't see the units going around anymore. Since COVID, there has been changes. They brought in changes whereby you book an appointment and you come in. But that's the plan. You don't sit down 4 minutes before you come on air and just go with your programme.
Yeah, Declan, yeah.
You plan your programme.
Just to respond, if the system works well all year round and there's enough blood and all, fantastic, wonderful, and I'll tip my hat to a regular donor. But they're calling for an emergency and a bit of help. And I'm trying to give blood, and it's a very difficult process for a new donor reacting to what was on the news. What was on the news, I'm being reactive. So I don't plan all year how many bloods I'm going to give, etc. Like that gentleman I'm tipping my hat to. But when I've tried to today and gone through all the processes since last night, the appeal on the news, it's an appeal. So therefore, anyone listening today who wants to help out here, I'm saying it's a difficult to get onto the ladder, yet they're talking about cancelling surgeries. So I'm going to take that fairly seriously, and I'm going to bring it to your attention. And that's why I made my call today.
Michael, giving blood, is it really a medical procedure? It's hardly... You don't get a local anaesthetic. Anytime I've had blood taken, it takes 20 seconds, and it takes longer
than 20 seconds, and you must be rested up for about 20 minutes after. There's a process involved.
Okay, guys. Yeah. Okay.
There's a process involved. And then, in relation to what somebody said earlier on about the clinics operate from about 3 o'clock to about 8 o'clock at night time. All that has to be processed both before and after in that regard. Okay. So when a blood clinic finishes in a location, say in Lucan, the staff won't be finished till maybe 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know, and they're great staff. I know that.
So there's a huge amount of preparation work goes on. As I said, Joe, you don't wander in and start up a radio programme ad hoc 2 minutes before 2:15. Right? You put planning into it, you know exactly. It's the same for everything. And given all the grief that went down over medical procedures and everything, there's a very strong process behind donating and screening and making sure that everything is right from that point of view. If it's a new donor, it's a bit of a heavy process when you start off first. But once you're in the loop, you're in the loop.
William is on. Stay there, Michael. William is in County Dublin. Joe at rt.ie 51551.
Hello, William. Joe.
How are you, William?
Yeah, it's me, yeah. No, I just wanted to listen to your programme there. The point about giving blood, I'm an old-age pensioner. I gave blood all my life and got the gore pins and all that type of thing. And then when I came to a certain age, she said, well, now you're getting a bit old, now we can't take it from you anymore. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
What age? What age were you told you couldn't give it anymore? Do you mind me asking? It's gone, the line's gone. It's 65, I think, is the figure he was going to volunteer. Tom Finn, Thomas in Ballinasloe.
How are you, Joe?
Okay, you love giving blood.
I do. I think, you know what they say, virtue is its own reward, and I think there's no better feeling. There's no better feeling than giving blood and getting a text out from the blood transfusion service a couple of days later saying your blood has been released to whatever hospital, whatever.
But that's not. But the point that Declan's making is all over the national media yesterday and local media, there's an emergency. We need extra blood. He tries to donate, and the first appointment he's offered is after the US presidential election.
Yeah, well, I suppose credit to the PR department with the Blood Transfusion Service, first of all, for getting such coverage for such an essential service.
No media outlet would refuse the blood. It's almost like make way. If the Blood Transfusion Board put out an appeal for blood, everything is clear to let them on and say it. But then when they did get on and say it, and Declan saying, well, then he responded, and the response wasn't 999. The call was...
I suppose, Joe, what I'd have to say is, well, compliments to Declan for making the effort.
Yeah,
You'd have to understand how the system works. If I go to give, if I get notification that there's a blood transfusion clinic in Ballinasloe or whatever, and that I can book in over X number of days, the Blood Transfusion Service will have 20, 30, 40 people that set up in the local centre or hotel. It takes a lot of resources. And we book in, you go through a procedure, you answer all the questions, they check that you're healthy, and you give blood. I've been giving blood since I was a student. I coach a few teams and I promoted there, and I get young fellas to join up. I think it's an unbelievable thing to do. It's really, really rewarding to do. And I know there's difficulty. You can't possibly... Isn't it a good thing that there's been such a positive response to the appeal?
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's a procedure to go through, you know. You just don't walk in.
I know, but in fairness, what Declan's saying is, like, sometimes procedures get extraordinarily complicated for relatively simple... processes that people want to do. People want to do it, like you, Tom, and
I'm not so sure it's that simple. Okay. I mean, they'll tell you what your blood type is. It's really, really important, and you'll understand, Joe, better than most, that there's been a history where this went wrong in the past.
That had nothing to do with blood donation. That had to do with procedures in the Blood Transfusion Board at the time.
But I'm just saying, personnel have moved on.
My blood can go to a child or a baby. William, just check on, you said your age. What age are you excluded?
Well, first, I remember I've been given blood since I was in university in the early 60s. And for some people who are probably familiar with the system at that time, you went in and you got a pint of Guinness and you did a whole lot of other things. And indeed, some people went around the back and came back in the second time. And there was no problem in terms of their health or anything like that.
But what age were you when they said you cannot come back?
I was just 66, I think.
Very, very young these days.
Did they
say why?
No, because, well, they didn't. They just said that it's really that age we shouldn't be taking. We have a policy. That's what they said. And, there are thousands of people like me in the country who would be willingly and have been all their lives giving blood. And even if you just tap that source alone, you could get a lot of people. And people who have a long... I mean, I have gold pins and all the usual type of things that people got over the years. There's nothing wrong with me. I mean, losing a pint of blood wouldn't make a difference to me, to be quite honest. Yeah. And really, I'm talking about... Really, the purpose of my conversation is very simple. It's to do with people who, who are old but are still in good health.
Yeah. Okay, they have the Blood Transfusion Board said, by the way, they'll come on tomorrow if you still need a spokesperson. They're not able to come on today. James Stapleton, James.
Yeah, hi.
Good, how are you?
I just Yeah, my experience, I would say, is it's the opposite of the first caller. Like, I mean, I've been regularly given blood for years, and I find the appointment system very good. You know, now that they introduced after COVID there, that you can now book your time, and you know how long it's going to take roughly. Before, like, it could have been 2 hours you were in there. Now it's 1 hour, and they come to the regular, the local school here, and they come back every 3 months or so. And you know, I think the ad at the moment is probably trying to encourage people that do regularly give it, but, you know, might miss it now and again, you know, because it's hard to go every time they're around. So it's just trying to get those people back, I think.
Okay. Thanks, James, and well done on donating. Declan, you mentioned, what is your condition called?
It's hemochromatosis. It's a Celtic horse, they call it. So
what is that?
High iron in your blood. But I go into James's, they discharged me last year, and I'd go in and... I could walk in any time, 15 minutes, the girl would have me there, tea and a biscuit afterwards. As I said, if the people are doing fantastic
they
jobs
need to,
there,
they need booking, to take they need to take your blood out.
Yes. I just need to give a pint of blood regularly, maybe twice a year, to take the iron levels down. It's called ferritin, Joe. But, I mean, I will definitely book in. I will definitely give blood. I just wanted to highlight it for new donors and their previous donors getting a little bit excited there that in the emergency, as I said, hopefully there's a bit of awareness and people will get out and give the blood.
You can speak directly now to the director of the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, Paul McKinney. Paul, good afternoon. Thanks for coming on. Declan, I don't know whether you managed to hear Declan's points, Paul, but if you want to summarise them you're going straight to the top here. Declan, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, it was just that the emergency came on the news at 5:30 and I tried to call in and I couldn't. Obviously, they said it was out of office hours, so I called the next day, and then because I was a first-time donor, they found it hard to direct me to somewhere local, you know, and it's just the fact that it was called out that, I mean, the news said people are going to miss surgeries and things, so I found it very, very, that's what got to me, where I felt I needed to highlight it, so that we can get more and more people to do what your job is, to get blood to you.
And the first appointment you were offered, Declan?
Well, for the news in a location close to me, was November that suit.
Okay, Paul, there's other points. There's a point about why are people over 65 not allowed? Why does everything have to be done by appointment now? Why aren't there simple walk-in clinics? Sorry to throw them all in one question, Paul. And have things changed since COVID?
Well, good afternoon, Joe, and thanks very much for having me on. And I'm happy to take and deal with any of the points raised. Firstly, thank you, Declan, very much for taking that time to ring and try and make an appointment. And I can only apologise, first of all, if anybody is not getting the service that they would expect. We've had a huge response, as usual, from the donors. Which we're very grateful for. We took just under 5,000 phone calls on the Tuesday after I went on the radio and made the appeal. So, as usual, donors have been fantastic. I think Declan was a first-time donor. I mean, what the appeal was, and we're very careful when we choose our words, and I would like to come back and just address one of Declan's other points. What we were looking for were 2,000 additional donations over a four-week period. That was basically 500 additional donations on top of the 3,000 we collect every week. And really, we do that because we forecast, we know what the demand is likely to be, and if we get those donations, then we should be fine. What we don't want to do is to overrun the clinics and upset donors and have very lengthy queues. So that's why we were careful on that request. We were looking for 2,000 additional donations over the 4 weeks. First-time donors, which I believe Declan was, they do take up as much as we desperately need them. We're very grateful for people to come forward. The process to get a first-time donor through a clinic is significantly longer than a regular donor. So we do focus on appeals. We ask for regular donors. So first-time donors, we ask them to register their interest. We have allocated number of slots in each clinic for first-time donors. And because of that, we have to spread them out over a longer period of time to ensure that we can allocate them to a clinic and process them entirely. So that's probably why that delay was. I don't know the particulars about Declan's and why it was why that appointment was that late.
So, Paul, is yesterday's emergency over?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And it's an emergency. It's an appeal. We are, as I said yesterday, we are 3 days below in our O negative, B negative, and A negative, and we were at 3.5 days for O positive. I have to say we've had a fantastic response.
Yeah.
Last night's collection was we had over 700 donations, which is fantastic. It has put us in a better place. We're certainly not out of it yet. We know the appointments for tonight and the appointments for next week are much stronger than they were before we made the appeal.
Okay.
So, but unfortunately, blood only has a lifespan of 35 days. This is a constant challenge for us.
Okay.
Hospital demand is massive. At the moment, in August, we issued the highest August number of units for 10 years. So
wow.
We can see that the hospitals are absolutely trying to work on the waiting lists, and demand is very high. So hence that appeal.
Yeah, okay. And but that is interesting, Paul. You're saying if you look at the supply and the demand at your end, you're surmising, obviously with your experience, that the hospitals are doing a lot more operations or whatever than they were previously, which is a good sign, I hope, as you said about the waiting list.
Well, it's a super sign,
yeah.
And we can, and we can see the work because we're obviously their point of contact when they need blood. So yeah, it is. It's good, and it's really important for us to ensure that we can meet that demand.
Okay.
And is there?
Well, let me see. Mary Quigley in Waterford, what do you want to say to Paul? You think it has got more difficult to give? Why, Mary?
And
I know you're O negative and you do give blood, but why is it more difficult?
Hi, Joe and everyone else on the line. Great to hear this topic being discussed. I've been a donor for about 45 years and I've experienced it all. First of all, we used to go to a union hall in Waterford City and you would be waiting there 3 hours, but you'd have a good laugh. And those were the days before internet and multi-channels.
Yeah, okay.
And you get a half glass of Guinness then when you finish, which was an extra incentive.
Yeah.
But I have found in recent times that the venue for Waterford City is about 4 miles outside the city centre. I phoned the IBTS and made this point to them a couple of times. It used to be a city centre hotel where passers-by would go in, they'd register, they understand if they're first-time donors, they must go through a process. That's no problem. But the venue, as it stands at the moment, is on the busiest route outside Waterford City. The clinic starts at 4 p.m. For me to get out there, I would have to take a half day from work.
Okay.
You're an hour in traffic getting out, and it's just not a suitable venue. And I've made the point to the IBTS. They said they'd look into it, but it hasn't changed. It's still in the same venue for the last, say, 6-7 years. And their numbers are down. I can see it myself when I go in. The donations are down in Waterford. So I just wanted to make that point. I think it's a great service.
Yeah.
I get a great feel-good factor when I do it. And don't get the Guinness anymore for health and safety reasons. But I'm a committed donor.
Okay, that's the location. Billy Horan, what happens in your case, Billy, when you try to give blood?
Hi, Joe. Hi from Concarry. I give blood 4 times and... you know, they determined I'd be a faint risk after the fourth occasion, even though I climb
but
mountains here in Kerry.
Who said you were a faint risk?
Well, it was one of the staff nurses that were taking the blood.
And did you faint?
No. I had a slight tummy ache, like, but they determined I was a faint risk, and I suppose like a...
Does that mean you're finished? You can't give any more blood?
Yeah, I wrote a couple of letters back to them and, they had no interest in getting me back on the list. And, you know, I often hear in advertising on the radio and television. Yeah. I'd be a valid donor. I'd meet all the criteria, like, John, for giving blood, like, you know. But I climb mountains and stuff and never fainted in my lifetime.
Okay. Paul, I don't expect medical responses here, but Paul, first of all, is there why the age limit, given the world we live in? That 65 is the new 40.
Well, the age limit is 18 to 65, and it's interesting. Excuse me, your previous donor about the faint. I mean, first and foremost, it is about donor safety. You know, if somebody is prone to fainting, then there is a possibility.
But he's not. Billy climbs Karen too.
Well, fine, but people react differently in when blood is being drawn or they see blood. So it's really the nurse on the clinic at the time would have made a decision. We don't want donors injuring themselves
or hurting themselves
by clinic. And,
of course. If that's the case, we'd never have a clinic. We'd never get out of bed. But Billy says, I don't faint. I haven't fainted.
I don't know Billy's personal case, but I mean, what I can say is that you know, our nurse would not make a decision
judgment.
Without.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is first and foremost the donor's safety is critically important to us. Regarding the age of 65. I mean, 65 is a typical retirement age. If somebody feels and
they're no, it's
and,
changing.
Well,
Paul, it's
let
changing.
Me finish. Let me okay, finish, okay, Joe. If they want to donate, you know, go to your GP and we're happy if the GP says that the donor is fitting well, then, you know, send the letter into us and we'll certainly get that process.
65 is not written in stone.
No, it's an age that we're looking out for. Donors are very precious to us.
We're very grateful for
donors who have given a lifetime's commitment. But you know, we've got to make sure that they are healthy.
There is a great connection, and despite the awful scenario that emerged, not just in Ireland in the 80s and 90s, but there's a great connection between Irish people and blood. Blood donation. There really
huge.
Is. Thank God. I know people have to be reminded every now and again. Paul, are there, Declan, people who could not take a COVID jab, I wonder? Is there such a thing as just fear of a little pinprick with a needle? I presume there is.
Oh, yes. It's one of our biggest... the number of people who are afraid of needles is quite huge. And what we say, I mean, we do on the website, we do give advice on that. But one thing, if you are afraid of needles and you are considering becoming a donor, then talk to somebody who is an established donor and they'll explain the process. And it is a prick. And we've got fantastically trained phlebotomists. Their staff are brilliant. So if you are concerned about it, either ring our number 1800. 731137 and talk to somebody and they can give you advice, or talk to somebody who has donated on a regular basis and they'll put your mind at rest.
And I'm just wondering what are those, and it's an awful situation if you are afraid of what do those people do during COVID, the COVID jab, how did they get the anyway? Philip, sorry for holding you there. Philip's in Sligo. Philip.
Yes, Joe.
Your point, please.
Well, what my own experience is that since the appointment system came in, I find it much quicker because there's less waiting time. It's working well for me here in Sligo, and I've also had to go at times gone to Mayo as well. But I think the upper age one is an issue with the bigger. And I think that I've read somewhere that if you're a regular donor, that you will be still considered for donation up to 70.
I'm not quite sure
what the. I know there is. It could be issues, health issues. But in, from like my own case, I suffer from. I have hemochromatosis, which is iron overload. I will still have to continue past 65 to give blood, which won't be used. Yeah, in hospital, which won't be used then.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which was the case up until about 3 or 4 years ago. You weren't allowed to go to the blood transfusion service, which you now are. But prior to that, the blood wasn't being used at all. So. Which was a shame, and I would hate to see that happening again. that there will be people who will have to give blood when they pass 65 years of age, and that blood won't be used the same as it is now, because I now get a text saying that the blood is being used in some hospital. I think that's just, I think the appointment system works very well. But I think, you know, for first-time donors as well, there is a lot of very stringent conditions they have to meet, and it's just not a case of walking in and just giving the blood. They have to check your hemoglobin and all kinds of stuff.
As you say, you're a reserve. Well, you're still young. You're in your 60s. Declan, you're young, are you? What age are you, Dec?
Well, I'm 50, Jeff.
50, okay. That's very young. Philip, what's it like having hemochromatosis for... You had it all your life.
I've had it for about 15 or 16 years, and it's fine, and it's perfect now, and that's why I'm actually a board member of the Irish Hemochromatosis Association, because I felt so strongly about raising awareness for it, because I feel very grateful for being diagnosed with it when I was, and we always try to raise awareness of how important it is to get tested for it, because once it's treated and you follow the procedure, the only procedure is to give blood, but once you do that there, you can leave practically normal life. But if you ignore it, it can have very serious consequences, fatal consequences, actually.
Wow. And how do you know you have it, Philip?
Well, I didn't know how to, I was probably feeling tired, but I could be feeling tired if it was low in iron as well. Yeah. But it's just important if it's in the family, if you carry the gene, which Irish people are the most likely people in the world to have hemochromatosis.
And Declan, how did you know you had it?
I just went for a checkup, Joe, when I was 35, just a DOA.
And they took your blood, Nancy Dandy, they took your bloods.
They took my bloods, and they were brilliant in James, and I was a 10 ever since, and they said my levels were so good now, just go and sign up with the National Blood Transfusion. It was a disease that people were dying in England a lot. They didn't realise they weren't... checking for it, and as I said, they call it the Celtic course. It's been a popular disease in Ireland, and it's hereditary, so if anybody has it, the family needs to check out.
Okay, quick break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Paul McKinney, who's Director of Donor Services and Logistics at the Irish Blood Transfusion Services, on the line. Dave, you want to ask Paul a question? Dave Phelan.
How are you, Joe?
Good.
Yesterday, I'm 69, and yesterday I got a call from the blood bank asking me would I pop in and make a donation, because I hadn't... since the last time. So I popped into Castle Blaney and made my donation, no problem whatsoever. Got my silver pin, which was nice to get. But I'm 69. I asked, what's the story? And they said, no problem, just get your GP to give you a note and you can continue on. So I just felt on the conversation, it came across that the figure of 65 was thrown up, and I'd hate to feel people
so it's
who
not,
were 65.
It's not set in stone.
No, I don't think you know. Now, I have O negative as well, and I actually was tested for hemochromatosis, but I don't have it.
Okay.
But I have a naturally high iron in my blood, so it's almost like fortified milk, you know. It's a little bit extra in it. So it was grand, fine to give the blood, no problem whatsoever, no fainting or anything.
Keep going. Okay. Dave, you prompted about the age thing. Paul, wasn't there a restriction on people who lived in the UK in the 1990s? Is that my memory?
Yes, there was. Yes, it was because of variant CJD. It was people who lived between 1980 and 1992 were deferred from giving blood. I'm very glad to say that is no longer the case. So we've tried to communicate that, and we're very much, 1980 to 1996. We'd love to see people who haven't donated since because of that, we'd love to see them back. That deferral is gone.
And Paul, given the multicultural nature of our society now, the different ethnicities, the different gene pools, so to speak, do you every now and again, do you have to put out an appeal for specific people of a different nationality to come forward?
We do, and that's increasingly important. And we really are asking donors of potential donors of African heritage, please to come forward.
Okay.
Yep, Ireland is it's diversified hugely. We look for a better phenotype match blood type for a patient. So yeah, more African heritage and the younger the donors, it's fantastic.
Okay,
for the,
so you're looking, you're appealing for more people of African heritage to donate blood.
Yes, okay. We are, please. Yeah.
Now, we know they're for Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe, I think, in donating blood or receiving blood. Is there any different cultural traditions that would be adverse to donating blood that you've come across, Paul?
Well, not that I'm aware of, Joel, to be honest. It's you know, we welcome everybody as long as, they're fit and healthy and you know, that we're happy that, you know, all the various conditions that we put in play are ticked, then absolutely we'd love to see everybody.
But a specific appeal now, to say it again, for people of African heritage in Ireland, obviously, and the younger the better, obviously over 18, to come forward and give blood.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, that's very well said. Karen Morgan, Karen.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, reminding us of the importance of
donation. Yeah, I have a 10-year-old who has received 26 blood donations and 2 bone marrow transplants.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 1 in a million, literally.
And what age is your boy?
He's 10.
Oh, wow.
He's 10 and he had them. The first transplant was his first birthday, the week before his first birthday, and the second one was a month after his second birthday.
He's some warrior. How is he doing?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. He still goes in and out of Crumlin and Temple Street and all these lovely places for checkups and stuff. But yeah, he's good. Great team of very incredible doctors in Crumlin that looked after him really well. And particularly his donors, because they're not related to us. They're two Irish donors. So two very incredible people that saved his life.
Bone marrow donors.
Yeah, 2 bone marrow donors, yeah.
And how, obviously I don't know any details about it, but how are they sourced? What people are tested? Are they people, I go in and say I'd like to be a donor?
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the form. So anybody under 25, if you take, there's an option to be a bone marrow donor, they'll take an extra sample and put you on the register.
Ah.
Now, it's extremely rare to get Irish donors. They normally go to Germany or America to source the donors, but in our case, we actually had 2 different Irish men who donated to my son. Don't know who they are, you can't find out that information.
Okay, of course.
That's as much as I know. But yeah, and they were unrelated because he had no siblings at the time.
And I know that the advances in blood issues and blood diseases and blood dysfunctions since I was a child are just, and even in the last 20 years, I know Owen Smith up in, Professor Owen Smith in UCD,
that's
TCD.
He's
a good personal friend of mine. And I just hear from him nonstop about the advances, and they just are incredible. They just are incredible.
Yeah, it is amazing. And what he does is amazing, because I know he's probably listening, so high profit if you're listening. But what he does and you know, the team around him, they're incredible.
And his team.
Because without them, James wouldn't be here.
Wow.
Firsthand I can say how important it is.
Okay.
Because without all those donors, I wouldn't have my child, ultimately.
Looking forward to a good future then, Karen, for yourself and James.
Absolutely.
And I hear another little voice there in the background, do I?
I have 2 others. I have another boy and another girl.
Okay.
Yeah. And keep me busy.
Sure do. Fair play, Karen. Well said. And good luck,
thanks,
James.
Too.
Good man, James.
Thanks.
Good man, James.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
By the way, 2 little bits of good news. 1 very, very good news. 1 not, it's good news, but on a different level altogether. Linda, who was on yesterday about that horrific situation she's in with her boy. He's currently was taken into A&E. He's got self-harmed and indeed has got serious issues in behaviour at home. And as we kept saying over the last week, she was caring for him, but he's getting older and he's getting bigger and he needs a residential place, and he's got a residential place this morning. So fingers crossed that all works out, because Linda and her partner and her family are absolutely wonderful, as is their boy. She didn't give his name yesterday, but as is their boy, and we hope that works out. And the second little thing was the keys that were lost up on up in Lewisburg in County Mayo. Catherine fell into the tripped, lost the keys on the beach, keys taken out. Car keys sent over from Coventry, where she lives. No customs declaration, which apparently something to do with Brexit now. And but the Anna McHugh of An Post did a deep dive, I'm told, a deep dive into the Dublin Mail Centre, and she found the envelope. Well done, Anna. And the envelope is now on its way with the key. And the envelope is now on its way to Caroline. So hopefully she'll be on her way soon. But anyway, two little bits of information. Mairead Mason, you want to put a point to Paul McKinney, Director of Donor Services and Logistic Blood Transfusion Service. Go ahead, Mairead.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Paul. My email has somewhat been superseded by two callers ago who said he was 69, which is my age, and now he apparently is entitled to donate.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, is that a blanket absolution for us over 65? I have rhesus negative blood, and many years ago, in my 20s, I got a card from the blood transfusion people saying I was a VIP because my blood is universally acceptable. And then suddenly, I was living in the UK. I was banned because of mad cow disease. Then I had a baby. I couldn't give blood for a period. Then I was on hold. Anyway, eventually, I went back on the register. I got a call locally to donate. And when I gave my date of birth, they said, sorry, you're over 65 and you can't donate. So I'm just wondering with Paul, if I'm bleeding on the side of the road, does anyone know whether my blood is 25 years old or 65 years old? And is it the case that people like me can now go back and donate blood?
Well, it's obviously I don't know the individual case, so I can't actually specifically comment on it. But what I was saying earlier, that the age is 18 to 65 in general, but if you go to your GP and your GP is happy and gives you a letter to say that you're fit and well, then yeah, we're more than happy to take that letter. And
but Paul, why does it come to a crisis for me to learn that? Like, I didn't know that. How people like me are supposed to know, oh, if you go to your GP, I mean, maybe instead of putting out these panic calls for blood, you should do a more positive campaign and say, by the way, over 65s are all welcome to donate, subject to a letter from the GP, and we'd be delighted to take your blood, particularly if you're a VIP donor.
Well, I'd certainly take that on board. We do have a lot of the information pertaining to that on the website, and we do most of the time put out positive campaigns, very positive campaigns.
I don't look at the website if I've been told there's a blanket ban on over 65, so why would I look at the website? I mean, it's up to you to advertise it. Blood is in such short supply. I'm on your register. I have a donor number, and, you know, it's up to you guys to contact the library.
I do take the point, but again, as I said, I can't comment on a specific individual because I don't know.
I do think from your what I hear you saying, Paul, I think Mairead has made a good point. Maybe a bit of more clarity on the 65 would help.
Yeah, no, I take that on board, and I certainly talk to my colleagues, and we'll certainly look
because
at that.
Because we are.
We're delighted to hear from all donors and take all suggestions. We want to make the whole donation process simpler and better for everybody. It's so important.
Okay. Is that okay, Mairead?
I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, well put, Mairead. Nigel Averill. Nigel, you're 70.
I am, Joe.
Young man, how many times have you given blood?
145.
Is that a record?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I've just, over my career, I worked in clinical diagnostics, and I actually did business with the Blood Transfusion Service and quite a number of years ago. But a lot of those donations are actually platelets, and I don't know whether you know the difference with platelets you can give every month.
Okay.
And you go into the blood bank in St. James's, and you basically lie on a bed for an hour. And in fact, on a number of occasions, I fell asleep during the donation. It was so peaceful. And came out, I always went at lunchtime, fitted it in with my work, came out, had a sandwich and a drink, and headed off back to work. And in all those 145 donations, I've never felt the slightest twinge, never, no difference at all. And I'm just basically on to say, you know, don't let the fear of needles put you off. It's so important to give.
But Nigel, and it's an incredible thing you've done. Did you say are you in the medical area yourself, Nigel?
I'm long retired, Joe. I used to work in clinical diagnostics.
Wow.
I worked supplying equipment to the laboratories all around the country for 35 years. So I know the business fairly well, and I sort of felt an obligation to do something.
Right.
My main reason to come on is I donate in Malahide in the Grand Hotel and have done for well over 30 years now. And when I got to, having been a long-term donor, I think that makes an effect, has an effect on whether they are happy to let you keep on going. I got a letter from the BTS to say, please, if you want to continue donating, we have no problem, but would you get your doctor to sign off that he's happy for you to do it? And the text basically, the letter says, mm-hmm. I am happy and I am that he is fit and well and continues to donate for as long as possible. But the point I was going to make as well is that he actually said to me, do you know, this is doing you good, donating at your age, because it's forcing your body to make new cells to replace the ones you've given, and it'll actually do you good.
Yeah, okay. By the way, Nigel,
yes.
And Paul, an extreme fear of needles is called trypanophobia.
Right.
Now, it's not saipanophobia. Saipanophobia is an extreme fear of Rykeen. But trypanophobia is an extreme fear of needles.
Right. Well, I started off at 22 years old. I was a lab technician. Do you remember Dr. Austin Darragh?
Of course I do.
Yeah, well, I was a lab technician working for Dr. Darragh.
Wow.
And in the clinical trials unit in the back gate of St. James's.
Yeah, yeah.
And on a fairly low salary as a basic grade technician, and along came one of the nurses and said, we've drug trials going on, grand way to earn a bit of money, would you like to be included? And I said yes. And for the next 5 years, I was involved in the drug trials. And my God, there was a lot of bloods taken then. And if you had a fear of needles, you'd have run a mile.
Well, there it is, called trypanophobia. Nigel, good to meet you, Morgan. Thank you for your. I don't know, Paul, Nigel, 145 donations.
Fantastic. Thank you, Nigel. Very much appreciated. Lives saved.
Do you keep a Guinness Book of Records, Paul, in terms of number? No, you don't, do you?
We can't be associated with that now.
No, sorry, I don't mean it that way.
Would have made my job a lot easier.
But no, do you keep it? Do you know who was the greatest donor, so to speak, in terms of frequency?
We do. We have a Hall of Fame.
Oh,
in
very
our,
good.
Apheresis Clinic. We have pictures of donors who've reached certain milestones. Yes, very grateful.
Okay. Stay with it. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Paul McKinney is still with us, Director of Donor Service Logistics, Blood Transfusion Service. Pat, your point, please. Pat's in Dublin.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, hi, Joe. I'm 69 and a regular blood donor, and I have never been asked for a letter.
Okay. So there is.
So I yes, so there is. Okay. So it varies. Now I don't know whether it's because I have AB negative blood type.
Okay.
But I go every 90 days to give a donation. But what I find is, if I was to miss a donation for any particular reason, I'm bombarded
with
text messages asking me to go to this clinic and that clinic, even though I have stated my preferred clinics.
Okay.
So I don't know how well their system is working.
So how would it work better for you? Your AB negative now is pretty rare, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So that's why I do make the effort. Yeah, it's in demand, and I go. But I was just listening there to people saying that 65, you know, they have to have a GP letter. I have never been asked for that letter. So it's interesting. And the other point I'd just like to say is, like, we give our time and our blood. We do a public service, and we're happy to do that. Do the hospitals have to pay for the blood?
Paul?
Yeah.
Well, yes, the hospitals do pay for the blood that we supply to them, and that's our only income. So that's how the Irish Blood Transfusion Service is funded. We sell the blood to the hospitals, so we don't get any grant support or anything like that.
Okay.
Okay, and is it very costly for a hospital?
Well, I don't actually have the price to head, but it's an amount. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the hospital's pay. They pay for the blood transfusion service to collect it effectively. That's how it works.
Okay, so we the donors are providing it free, which we've no problem doing. I haven't, but I'd be interested to know what premium you're making on the blood that you sell to the hospitals.
Well, we're a non-profit organisation. We don't sell the blood to make a profit. We sell the blood to ensure that we can fund the service and carry on providing the service that we do to them. It's not a money generating or profit generating the business for us. Okay. It's purely just collecting and supplying.
So you sell it at cost.
Well, we sell it at a price that covers our costs and our overheads.
Okay, that's interesting, because I'd say a lot of people don't know that the hospitals have to pay
for
the blood.
Well, let's we throw in another question, Pat? Yeah, very good. Paul, but maybe when you're trying to get the hospitals to pay, is it like trying to get blood from a stone?
No, we're very, very good.
Do they pay? Do they pay up?
They do. They're very good. Okay. They do, yeah.
Okay. Keep donating, Pat. You hear me? You're brilliant.
I will indeed.
And thank you, Pat.
You know,
thank you very much.
And Paul, I wouldn't like anybody to be turned off because they think because they're 65.
But,
you know, there's very healthy people
very
out
good.
There and whether
how long,
they really need that letter.
And Pat, how long
Okay. No, I'm not far off that age myself. I completely agree with you. So.
Okay, Pat, by the way, how long does it take?
Well, it can vary depending on the efficiencies. It's amazing. I've been going to the same clinic, so I kind of know what the staff are like. And there's some people I'd say, I hope I don't get that person out to set me up and take the blood because they can be very slow. But I think I would give between travelling and donating about 2 hours.
Okay, travelling, and donating. Well done.
Yeah.
Fair play, Pat. Well, we're donating. We're nearly 30. It's Finbar Walsh. Finbar.
How are you?
Your point, please, Finbar.
Well, I was one of those ones that Paul was talking about earlier, that's 88 to 91 I was in the UK.
Okay.
And because of the BSE, I wasn't allowed to donate for about 20 years, I think. So then I was... And my biggest point is that sort of the communications from the BTSB since I went back has been incredible, because the very first one that I returned with it was to the Children's Hospital in Crumlin, where my son had been treated for cancer.
Okay.
And so I was quite pleased that sort of they were able to tell me that your blood has been used. And even recently, I've been one of those that has been bombarded because I'm a rhesus negative B neg.
Okay.
And but I haven't been able to give in the most recent visit to the area. And they usually around really every 3 to 4 months, and I would give it every time.
Okay. And isn't it one of the good things is you're now told generally where your
Where your blood is going. I think the last one I had went into Letterkenny Hospital.
Okay.
So you know where it's being used.
Yeah, that's
where,
what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, that's a brilliant idea.
When it's been used, so that it's a very positive thing for you.
It is,
sort of, you know, that sort of somebody has received it, and you know, I mean, the accountability for it is very good.
Yeah, that sounds. That's
and I think their communication levels, you know, I mean, sort of, some people might find that. I think they're very positive in the main.
Okay.
And I compliment Paul on that.
Okay, Finbar, well said. Teresa, good afternoon. Three of your sons. Is it three of your sons? Yes.
Yes.
Three. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
They've been diagnosed.
They've been diagnosed with VS, so they're in the process of having the venous sections done now at the moment.
Okay, and how are they getting on once they...
Well, they're fainters, I'm afraid, two of them, so it's been a bit interesting, but I have to get used to it now. So.
They're fainters? Definitely. What do you mean?
They don't like the needles.
Oh, do they not know?
No, definitely not. So they have that, what are you calling that thing, that triphobia or something or other?
Yeah, trypanophobia. And not to be confused with trypanophobia. It's actually, and it was Paul who gave me a glimpse of this earlier on when I said it to him. I'm half tongue in cheek here saying the word trypanophobia, but it can be quite serious, quite frightening.
Absolutely,
quite frightening,
definitely. It seems to be, yeah, definitely.
And is there any way? Is there any way?
Well, they're wearing the headphones now, so they have the headphones on, and don't ask any questions, don't give me any information.
Yeah, just do it.
Do the job.
Okay.
It's such a waste of all that blood that's been taken.
Okay, so your point is you have three sons with hemochromatosis. They give blood. One is giving blood once a week. Yes. And your question is, what happens to that blood, Paul?
Well, again, I don't know the actual individual case, but we, you know, last couple of years we have been able to provide a service where we do accept donors with hemochromatosis. They have to qualify. There are certain conditions that we have that you have to qualify to be able to come to our clinics. But again, that information is all on our website. There's a full page on it. But if you do go along those conditions, we are absolutely delighted to have you. Perfectly good blood, perfectly used for patients.
Okay.
Their levels are down. Like at the moment, when they're being a section done in the hospital, the blood is not used. It's just been dumped.
That because their irons are so high? Is it?
Yes. And once their levels are down, then if they go to donate blood, I'm sure the blood will be used.
Where is the venous section? I know Declan said earlier. Is it in St James's? In your case, Teresa? Where?
My guys. One of them is in Australia. Two here in Wexford.
And how did they? How were they diagnosed?
Well, it turned out that my granddaughter was unwell, and when they've done various tests on her, it turned out that she had it. So therefore, if she has it, her parents had to either carriers of it or have it.
Everyone got tested.
The situation. Yes.
Okay. Well, best wishes, Teresa. How long has your boy been in Australia?
Oh, he's been there since 2009 now, for 15 years now. Well settled now, I think.
Is he settled?
Well, they were coming back, but then COVID happened, so they kind of decided to stay put.
So they were going to come back and live in Ireland until COVID happened?
COVID happened, and you know what, prices escalated and all things changed, so they kind of decided, and the children are grown up now. Well, they're 13 and 11 now, so they're part of Australia, I suppose.
Yeah. Would we ever know the full extent of how the earth was tilted off its axis by COVID?
I don't think so.
Implications of it and the changes it made in people's, everyone's life.
Yes, some good things and some strange things.
Yeah. Okay, Teresa, kind regards.
Okay, take care, bye.
Thank you. Paul is still there, back after his break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Marcia Miranda. Marcia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Speak directly to Paul, the Director of Donor Services and Logistics Blood Transfusion. Go ahead, Marcia.
My name is Marcia Miranda. I am from Brazil. I have been living here in Ireland for 14 years. Mm-hmm. We are very healthy people from South America, and we are not allowed to donate blood in Ireland. Actually, Latino Americans are not allowed to donate blood in Ireland, and all we want is save lives. Lately, we had a meeting with the HSE. Mm-hmm. I was with the ambassador, and we brought up this subject because we want to donate, and we would be able to save lives in Ireland. So they told us because of the Chagas disease. Latino Americans are not allowed to, especially Brazilians, but like because of Latino the Chagas was in Brazil.
Okay, we'll let Paul answer.
Not allowed.
Okay, thanks, Marcia. Yes. Stay with us. Paul, is that true?
It is. Marcia is absolutely correct. Unfortunately, we have a very large Brazilian community, and they have a fantastic tradition of donating blood. But as Marcia says, unfortunately, we cannot test for Chagas, and therefore people who are from originally countries that have the Chagas disease, then I'm afraid, unfortunately, we currently cannot accept donations from them.
Is there any research or any possibility, any prospect?
I believe that there is research, and I hope in the coming years that that we will be in a position where we will be able to introduce tests. I mean, it's like everything.
Paul, sorry, I've caught time. Marcia, if Marcia has children, can her children donate?
I need to know the exact details of it. It depends if the children were born in the state of Ireland, then when they reach the age. But there are other conditions and facts that have to be looked at, and our son clinic would do that.
Okay, thank you for your call, Marcia.
And, just say something very quickly.
Yes, yes.
We questioned this with the HSE, and they told us that the Chagas has been for decades. You know, we don't have this disease anymore in Brazil. And plus, it's just simple tests. Like nowadays, they are testing for malaria in Ireland, which is a blood test.
Okay, so you've raised it.
If you can test for malaria, the government in Brazil will be very happy to share experiences, because we don't have Chagas anymore in Brazil.
Okay, all information greatly received. Well done, Marcia. Well done. Thanks to you, Paul McKinney. Donor Service and Logistics, Please Give Blood. Sound, Tommy O'Sullivan. Research, Richard Byrne. Producer, Tara Lockyer. Gantrake. Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.